the steps that are being taken to go after boosters who use NIL money to influence recruits and transfers. And Tyler Rowland, the host of Locked On Titans, joins us to help us learn about how the Tennessee Titans will use Nicholas Petit-Frere and Haskell Garrett. You can hear all that right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes. Part of Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Wednesday, May the 4th in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. For decades, boosters have used money to influence recruits and recently transfers to go to certain schools. We have all heard about what happened down at the University of Miami. We all saw OBJ hand LSU players money after they won the Natty. This has been going on for a very long time. Boosters have deep pockets, and they know how to influence 18, 19, 20-year-old young men to go to certain schools, because we all know money talks. Well, a recent report via Ross Dellinger, who covers college football for Sports Illustrated, talks about how there are certain people in college athletics who are ready to go after boosters who use NIL money to influence high school recruits and college transfers. These people, college leaders, specifically, primarily, a lot of them are university administrators. There's a task force that has been put together, and they are tasked and ready to go after boosters and to hand down sanctions for illegally using NIL money to influence people in the decisions that they are making. Booster-led collectives is the word and the phrase that was in the article, because a lot of boosters, they use money for legit NIL stuff. Now, granted, not legit. This is all legit things, but they're using things after someone is at school for the school they are at, not while somebody is not like Nigel Pack in the transfer portal or a Jordan Addison, who before he was even in the portal was rumored to go to USC, have a lot of money on the table via NIL money, NIL deals. You can go even further and talk about players. I even saw an article going back to the 50s. I think there were Oklahoma players who got money under the table. Fred Taylor on Bustin' with the Boys said he got money from the University of Georgia, either $30,000 or $50,000. The amount was not concrete on the podcast episode, but this has been going on for a very long time. And I think what we're seeing now is that this task force is not just trying to go after people that are using this money in this way, but they're also trying to provide more guidance to member schools on NIL disguised or pay-for-play type of contracts that are being put together. Hey, newsflash, how about this one? Let's think about this. I just said it, I'll say it again. This has been going on for a very long time. This isn't anything new. High school athletes have been being used and have been been the target of numerous boosters for decades. And all of a sudden, university administrators wait until this is legal to go after the boosters who have been doing things under the table and which has been ruled illegal for decades? Why are you so late to the party? And also, let's backtrack a little bit. Just like college football, where you have leaders and task force and you have someone like a Greg Sankey and a Jack Swarbrick who are going and doing things behind closed doors, having closed door meetings and having meetings in undisclosed locations in different hotel rooms during the time when you're not supposed to be traveling anywhere, but nobody says anything about that because, oh, they're the leaders. who are said leaders? Because if they're not university administrators, who are they? I mean, I like college sports. I love college sports. I breathe it. I talk about it all the time. I mean, trust me, it's ingrained in me. But one of my gripes with this is not so much the boosters, because the boosters are just doing what they've been doing the entire time. And now that it's legal, they'll get to go deeper into their pockets, pull out some cash and say, hey, I got $500,000 for you. Right, here's what sounds better. I got $500,000 for you per year if you come to this school. That sounds a whole lot better. I got $1 million per year for you if you go to this school. We're going to talk about different avenues and ways to improve NIL, different ways and avenues to even improve the transfer portal, my own personal complaints and reasons why I don't like the current setup of the portal. Might be a little bit different than what you have thought, but trust me, there are things that are going on now that the people that put these rules in place didn't even think this was going to happen. And I'm sitting here scratching my head like, if a booster is a millionaire or a billionaire, and they can do this legally right now, and they want to, why shouldn't they? If they can legally influence somebody to do certain things, to go to these schools, I'm going to say it. I am not mad at Nigel. I am not mad at Nigel Pack for going to the University of Miami and getting the bag while doing so. I am not mad at him. Would I be shocked if Ohio State players came out and said, oh yeah, I got influenced by this amount of money or that? No, not at all. It's a part of collegiate athletics. It's a part of what college sports has been for decades. Do I like that it's been done under the table? Absolutely not. Do I like the current setup of the NIL? Absolutely not. Do I think it's the worst thing in the world? It's not the worst thing in the world. There's a lot of things that are worse than NIL and a player getting X amount of dollars to go to a school, or while he's at a school getting X amount out of dollars because he's at said school. No. But if you want to stop these boosters, this, I think, is a step in the right direction. But as the NCAA is going under a change, a leadership change, as Mark Emmert is kind of being forced out and will be stepping down no later than June of 2023, this is an interesting time to go after the boosters. Because money talks. Y'all got lawyers. They have lawyers. They got money. Y'all got money. Now, the NCAA has a lot of money as well. But let me just tell you, I think the NCAA should have thought this through thoroughly instead of in the blink of an eye saying, well, here's this, here's that, here's this, here's that. When you make harsh decisions, we know it in life. Sometimes the NCAA does not know about this. If you make harsh decisions, sometimes you might not like the results. Summer is right around the corner, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you are fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to built.com and order now. All Built Bars and Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Have you tried the Built Puffs yet? We are going crazy for the Puffs. They come in crazy flavors like banana cream pie and even churro. Who doesn't want a protein bar that tastes like a churro and they're only 140 calories? Sign me up. Go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, it's the rare chance we get to have a crossover episode in the offseason. But as we know, there really is no offseason around here. It's Tyler Rowland, the host of Locked On Titans. They got not only one Buckeye over the weekend, but two. Both Nicholas Petit-Frere and Haskell Garrett will be in Nashville with the Titans. Tyler, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. And one thing that the Buckeye Nation may not know about me, I may be the host of Locked On Titans, but I am a born and raised Ohio State Buckeye. I'm from Ohio, born in Ohio, huge Buckeye fan. So as excited as I am to get these Ohio State talented players onto the Titans, I'm even more excited to be able to chop it up with the Buckeyes' best and Jay Stevens on the Locked On Buckeyes podcast. It's a bucket list moment for me.
You know, it's one thing that I love about the network is that there are so many hosts around the network that have ties to the Buckeyes or love the Buckeyes. Mm-hmm. Many football hosts, they want Buckeyes on their team because it's a football factory. And so I do like the enthusiasm and just you having that belief. I mean, you're happy to be here, happy to have Buckeyes. You got not only one, but two. Let's start with the draft pick first. Nicholas Petit-Frere. I want to say he was a day three pick.
Day two. Pick 69. Nice.
Interesting number. I'm going to leave it at that. Let everybody's minds wonder. Pick number 69. What was your thoughts when that pick went down?
Well, I thought it was a good pick. And I got to tell you, because if I'm honest with you, obviously from the Titans perspective, the A.J. Brown trade happened and then the Titans picked Treylon Burks at 18. Treylon Burks is a great player who I was very excited with, who I thought would be a great fit for the Titans. But when you see A.J. Brown, who I believe is the MVP of the Tennessee Titans football team over the last few years, when you see that guy walk out of the door, it's hard to be excited about Treylon Burks. You know what I mean? Because there's no way to separate the two from each other. And then the Titans take Roger McCreary, who's a cornerback out of Auburn, with their second pick. And if you ask a Titans fan, that's going to raise an eyebrow because the Titans didn't have a big need at cornerback. So when I saw Petit-Frere be picked at pick 69, I was like, finally, a draft pick that makes sense. So my instant reaction was, great value, tackles fly off the board, and asking to get a guy who could probably start in year two and give spot duty in year one, close to pick 70, that's good value. And when you look at the scheme fit that Petit-Frere is for the Titans and their offense, I got to tell you, my initial reaction was a lot of excitement, not only because I am, you know, a big Buckeye fan from Ohio, but also because I thought Petit-Frere was a great value and a perfect fit for the Titans and the system they run. So it was probably out of the first three picks the Titans made, that was the pick that initially I was the most excited about.
Tyler, you said something that stuck out in my mind in that whole little segment right there. You said spot duty year one, possibly start year two. Why do you think that's a progression for him while he gets into the NFL as a rookie and then in year number two?
Well, I think it's a combination of going off the historic, I guess, historical data, not literally data, but my interpretation and what I've seen from the Titans. They don't like to play rookies early on. And if they do, it's going to be in spot duty. Like we saw with rookie tackle Dylan Raidens last year with the Titans. He barely played all year long, basically didn't play at all. And then all of a sudden some injuries and some COVID outages happened. And now he's starting at left tackle against Nick Bosa, who Buckeyes fans will know well on Thursday Night Football in his first career start. So I think that Petit-Frere was brought in because he can provide depth and versatility across the offensive line in the event that the Titans do need him to step in and play. Titans had 91 different players on the roster last year, an NFL record. So they know that you need depth, as much depth as you possibly can. But on the other side of it, the Titans, like I said, don't play rookies very often. They are really slow to get rookies into the swing of things. So I don't expect him to be a starter day one because of that reluctance to play rookies. But I think his skill set, like I said, is tailor-made for the Titans system. So I do expect him to be a starter in year two and, again, be high enough on the depth chart to where he will get some spot duty when injuries inevitably occur.
One of my favorite qualities about this young man is that he is someone that played both right tackle as a starter and left tackle as a starter. Not sure what side that he'll play on in Tennessee. I don't really know their depth chart and roster very well. But how do you view his versatility, it being a rookie, knowing that he can play one side or the other? And what side do you think that he will play in Nashville?
You know, that's a very curious thing to ask because there is no good answer. I can't sit here and say for certain what they'll do with him.
Come on, the people want some concrete information.
I'll give you this. And this is concrete for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah,
he's a tackle. I really do believe that. The Titans will versatility. Mm-hmm. Titans would rather have a jack of all trades than a master of one. That's just the way that they view playing football. So while there is versatility there, John Robinson, the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, talked about that versatility And when he mentioned it, he said he's played left tackle and right tackle. Now, they asked about him kicking inside the guard, and they said, yeah, we think he'd have the ability to do that. But when they brought up his versatility, they mentioned what you just mentioned, the fact that he could play left and right. And right now, the Titans have an opening at the right tackle spot. They did not re-sign their starter from last year, David Questenberry, because he was the worst starting right tackle in the NFL. But second-year player Dylan Radins, who was supposed to be an offensive tackle, has played the majority of his practice snaps at guard. And even when he played tackle, Dylan Radins was much more comfortable at left tackle. He is a left-side player, in my opinion, whether that be guard or tackle. So to me, Petit Ferrer, I think long-term, should be the starting right tackle for the Tennessee Titans. I think that is his ultimate place in the lineup. But again, if the Titans decide that Dylan Radins is going to be a guard and not a tackle, then I could see Petit Ferrer taking that left tackle spot long term. But if they decide Dylan Radins is a left tackle, then Petit Ferrer could probably be the right tackle. But all I know is there's a vacancy at right tackle that's open for grabs, and Taylor Lewan is the starting left tackle for the Titans, and he's getting paid a lot of money, and there's a chance the Titans could get out of his contract after the year, which opens up both tackle spots long term. And when the general manager is talking about this guy being able to play both, it almost guarantees to me that he'll be a tackle at the next level.
Last thing about this young man, and it's going to go back to the rivalry in football in college. You guys got Hassan Haskins as well.
Yes, yes.
And I am here. I'm going to be here for any type of dispute, fight, back and forth during rookie minicamp, OTAs, or training camp, because Hassan Haskins is going may get on Petit Ferrer. Petit Ferrer might be like the young man from remember the Titans and purposefully miss a block. I am here for that kind of stuff. And so if it happens, I expect you to have a few tweets or maybe a video or just kind of explain it in your own personal way how you view that feud on the football field if it lingers into a team aspect. I know it won't happen on the field, but I like that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of curious how a Buckeye is going to feel blocking for a Wolverine.
You might be onto something, because it's not just Haskins and Petit Ferrer. No, like we talked about, Haskell Garrett is there, but not only that, Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the team, super famous Buckeye, and then the left tackle we just discussed, Taylor Lewan, obviously a super famous Michigan player. So on draft day, we had Taylor Lewan tweeting Mike Vrabel saying that, you know, he was trying to get Petit Ferrer drafted because he was a Buckeye, and then also saying that he surprised the general manager let the general manager draft a guy from Michigan. So that banter and that rivalry lives on within the Tennessee Titans, the greatest rivalry in all of sports, in my opinion, and it lives on with the Titans. And I got a feeling we're going to be hearing a lot of Ohio State, Michigan back and forth between not only the guys that we just discussed, but Lewan and Mike Vrabel as well.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We are here with Tyler Rowland of Locked On Titans. A little crossover in the offseason, but there is no offseason around here. Nope. You can follow him on Twitter at TicTacTitans. Did a little Nicholas Petit Ferrer in the previous segment, but now we're going to the bigger, well, can't say bigger, they're both big, one of the big men on campus, Haskell Garrett, one of the guys that got picked up via the undrafted free agent market. What were your initial thoughts, like Petit Ferrer, what were your initial thoughts with Haskell Garrett being picked up after the draft?
Well, I was really excited about it for multiple reasons. Number one, Garrett's skill set in general, which, you know, I could obviously dive into gap shooter, penetrator, quick, aggressive guy. And that fits with what the Titans do. The Titans don't have a traditional 3-4 defense where you got these big two gap embodied nose tackles that try to keep guys off the linebackers. No, the Titans want defensive linemen who can play in a 3-4. And who could play in a 4-3 because they like front multiplicity is a term that is thrown around a lot with the Titans schematically. So I think that because Garrett is not that big body, two gap and control guys, keep him off the linebacker. He's a gap shooter. He's a quickness guy. Get off the line of scrimmage, swim, get through the gaps, penetrate into the backfield, make plays. I think that fits with what the Titans want to do schematically on defense. So I like that. But also, again, going back to just the historical aspect here, 3 years in a row now, the Tennessee Titans have had an interior defensive lineman make the roster, and not only make the roster, but make an impact. In 2019, it was Isaiah Mack out of Chattanooga. In 2020, it was Tierre Tart. And then in 2021, it was Naquan Jones out of Michigan State, another Big Ten guy. So I think that there is a great chance that Haskell Garrett has the ability, not only, again, because of his skill set and how it matches what the Titans want to do on the D-line, but also because we have seen historically that interior defensive linemen have a great chance to make the roster for the Titans. I think you combine those two factors, and Garrett's one of the guys. I'm just as excited about Haskell Garrett as I would have been if he would have got drafted. I think those priority undrafted free agents carry just as much weight and value as a sixth or seventh round guy. So I love the addition of Haskell Garrett for multiple reasons, really.
Are there any hesitations with him joining the Titans that you have?
Yeah, and I would say it's similar hesitations as with Petit Ferrer.
Okay.
Both of these guys are athletic dudes who have quickness and who can move and use that to their advantage. But both of them need to put on some more weight. They have to put on some more strength. And when you don't have to worry about going to class, and you don't have to worry about study hour, and you don't have to worry about dorm food, and you have an NFL contract with NFL money and NFL facilities and NFL weightlifting programs and all that. And I know Ohio State is practically an NFL level weightlifting program. I understand that. But the time and the dedication factor when you go from a boy in college to a man in the pros is just different. So if Garrett and Petit Ferrer can add more mass and add more strength to their game, I think that it gives them a much better chance to contribute much earlier on. But the skill set that they have right now with the athleticism and the quickness should be enough to get their foot in the door, but they're going to need the hard work and dedication required to not only change their habits, change their eating habits, all the, as adults, people listening, you change from your early 20s to your late 20s, you know, to your mid-20s. Massive changes in who you are as a person, your priorities. As that natural maturation happens and they put football even more forward than it was before, add that weight, add that mass, change their bodies a little bit over the course of year one to year two, which is something Mike Vrabel and John Robinson are heavy on when it comes to talking about rookies. Caleb Farley, the rookie last year cornerback out of Virginia Tech, all that Mike Vrabel has talked about throughout the offseason, how he's remade his upper body, added a bunch of weight, added a bunch of strength. If these guys from Ohio State, Petit Ferrer and Haskell Garrett, can do that, then I think there's a great chance that they can carve out a role and impact the season in 2022, not just 2023.
Is Haskell Garrett a rotational piece at D-tackle this year?
Yeah, I think he could be if he's able to, because the reality is he is competing against other undrafted free agents from other years. Tierre Tart is a guy that was an undrafted free. It's not like he's competing with guys who have big time contracts and had investments of high draft picks. He's competing against guys who were undrafted free agents just like him. So there's no reason at all that if he's able to make the roster, and here's the thing about the Titans, they rotate like crazy. They rotate a ton on defense. Mike Vrabel, as a former player, understands the impact of stamina and fatigue and the physical toll that's taken on your body playing in the trenches at the NFL level nonstop. I mean, the reality there is you need to have a strong rotation of defensive linemen. The Titans used Kevin Strong last year, and like I said, Tierre Tart, Naquan Jones, a bunch of different off-the-street free agents and undrafted free agents from previous years as their one technique, sometimes three techniques, sometimes a four-man defensive end in their multiple fronts. So there's no reason whatsoever that if Haskell Garrett does all the right things, that he could, if he makes it on the roster, he's going to be in the defensive line rotation. The Titans don't keep guys on the roster who they don't want to use. And Laurel Murchison is the only guy on the interior defensive line for the Titans that a draft pick was used on, a fifth rounder in 2019 or 2020. He has not performed. So I think going into his third year here, the Titans could cut Laurel Murchison during training camp if a guy like Haskell Garrett proves that he can be more valuable. There is plenty of opportunity to not only make the roster, but to truly be a part of the rotation, even a limited part in 2022 for Garrett.
Tyler, we're going to close it out with this. And I know I talked a little bit about the rivalry previously, but that was a Buckeye blocking for a Wolverine. So it's a little bit different at that point. But when you have a guy at D tackle, and let's just say they have an off tackle run for Hassan Haskins in training camp, pads are on, full pads, and Haskell Garrett shoots it, sees it quickly, plow, runs him right over. That's what I'm here for. I love to see it. Getting a little payback for what happened this past year in Ann Arbor. I would love that. And I surely hope, I do believe, Mike Vrabel, if those two guys get into it after that pounding, he lets them go. Says, hey, this is football. This is not, we're not in preschool. We're not in Sunday school. No, this is football. You hit them hard. You fight it out, duke it out, and then you go back and play the next play. That's what I'm here for. I love it. And I really am hoping, literally, I am hoping we get a moment like that where a Buckeye destroys a Wolverine in practice, man. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, the reality is, you know, I do got to say, although Haskins it is from up north, man, the way that he performed in that game this year,
man,
I took solace in that. I said, I know that the Titans are drafting a Michigan man, but it was a Michigan man who ran pretty tough and put it on the Buckeye. So I guess I can live. But both those guys, Haskins, Garrett, they're going to be fighting for their NFL lives.
Yeah.
So the physicality is going to be ratcheted up. And I guarantee that we get some report of some Big Ten violence. And I will be certain to relay that to you and Buckeye Nation.
Tyler, man, this has been fun, man. A lot more fun than I anticipated. If you could, well, I've already kind of mentioned it earlier. What are some good things coming up on the Locked On Titans show? You can follow him on Twitter at Tic Tac Titans. Easy to find. What are some good things coming up on the show if fans want to learn more about the Titans and what they're doing here in the offseason?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Locked On Titans podcast, free and available on all platforms. I am breaking down the Titans Monday through Friday all year long. On Wednesday, I am going to be putting out an undrafted free agent recap as part of the show where I break down Garrett and his fit with the Titans. So you could check that out. And then me and you are going to do a little crossover. I'm going to put you in the hot seat and ask you some questions about Petit Ferrer and Garrett. And I'll be very excited to have that conversation. That'll be running on Wednesday of this week. So if you guys are interested in either of those, make sure to check those out. Well, Wednesday into Thursday morning, make sure to check those out on the Locked On Titans podcast. And I do a ton of film breakdowns and things like that. I'm sure I'll have a little clip package up for Garrett by the end of the summer.
And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jsteven07. We have a couple more days left in the week. There's some NIL stuff that's going on, was behind the scenes. Now it's getting put on Front Street. We're going to try and tackle that in different avenues this week, because not only is it going to affect people outside of the Big Ten, but with Ohio State being the school that it is and the program that it is, there are going to be people that are going to be looking at Ohio State and asking, what have they done or what are they doing behind the scenes to help their team get better? But we'll tackle it from different angles, some positives, some negatives. You know how we do things on Locked On Buckeyes. Make sure you stay tuned and let's finish out the week strong.
Go Bucks.